The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, it is The Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. You know how they say breaking up is hard to do? And that certainly seems to be the case in the UK's exit from the EU. It's been 3.5 long years since the Brexit vote back in 2016, which saw 51.9% of the UK public vote to leave. Since then, the UK has seen two prime ministers stepped down, numerous parliamentary debates, which sometimes generated more questions than answers, the pound seeing a slump against the dollar, and various versions of a Brexit deal. Yet earlier this week, members of the European Parliament ratified the Brexit withdrawal agreement by 621 votes to 49 following an emotional debate in Brussels. The new European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said ratification of the withdrawal deal was only a first step towards a new partnership between the EU and the UK. She also wished the UK well. Here's what she said.
To our British friends and many, perhaps not all, but many of our British MEPs here in the room, I want to use the words of the famous British poet George Eliot. She said, "Only in the agony of parting do we look into the depth of love. We will always love you and we will never be far. Long live Europe."
That was European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen leaving the EU door open to the UK in the future. Several British MEPs said they hoped the UK would return one day, although Eurosceptics, including the Brexit Party's Nigel Farage, used their final speeches to tear into the EU. But now that Brexit Day is finally here, what does it mean for the UK moving forward? Well, to give us some analysis on all of this is David Kramer, Provost Chair at National University of Singapore Business School. Good morning, Prof. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm doing well.
Very interesting. So I'm looking at my giant Brexit clock. We've got 23 hours, 38 minutes and about 47 seconds to go before Brexit finally happens. But just touching on the mood, it's a bit of a muted one today because a lot of people in the UK are slightly more concerned about the coronavirus outbreak.
Well, I think that's globally now.
Yeah.
But I think Brexit has always was surrounded by ambivalent feelings anyway. So basically, you've got the half of the country who didn't want to leave and the other half who wants to leave.
Yeah.
And like you said, it took 3.5 years, a lot of political rhetoric. It went one side, it went the other side. So people, yeah, feel ambivalent about it. Some people are completely happy.
Yeah.
They made a 50p coin for Brexit. And some people are so happy to use it. And then you could read in the media that other parliament members didn't want to use it because it's such a strong symbolic value that basically Brexit for them ruins their lives. So it was really, really something that affected people's lives of this generation very much.
Yeah, very emotional in that sense. But getting into the specifics, there are a lot of things that will stay the same. A couple of things will change after the UK leaves the EU later today. It's an 11-month transition period. Could you share with us some details of all of this?
Yeah, so until December 2020, until the end of this year, basically the UK will still operate as the EU does. The only difference will be that the UK has nothing to say. They will not be invited to any EU summits. They just have to follow the EU regulations. Whenever they do trade for these 11 months, they have to follow the policies of the EU. In that sense, not much changes, except for the fact they had a very strong position in Europe. They've completely lost this. So no politicians will attend EU summits, will not attend meetings in Europe unless they are invited. Things will go on as usual, so UK citizens will be able to go to the EU without any of the additional checks. The same counts for EU members going to the UK. The little things that will be changing is, of course, that the real Brexit, the negotiations on this, start today. So in a way, we're still in the beginning of the process.
Yeah.
The story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. We're not at the middle even yet. Now, the only thing we've decided is, okay, we will follow up the results of the referendum. Finally, there's certain consensus in the UK because Boris Johnson won with a landslide. So he has the legitimacy officially and formally now to push the agreement that he had with the EU. And that agreement was to leave the EU through the parliament, which has happened. What has to happen now in 11 months' time is to see how will these two countries do trade in the future. How will the UK with the EU negotiate on how they will do basically whatever affects people's lives, trade, culture, social issues, and that has to be done in 11 months. It has to be done because Boris Johnson said on December 31st, 2020, I want to finish these trade agreements, whereas the EU has already given the indication that if they're willing, the UK, they're willing to extend that trade agreement negotiation phase until the end of 2022.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because there's still a lot of discussion that has to go on, even, you know, with something so popular as football. The football leagues are looking at different rules because of Brexit. Speaking of trade, Brexit Secretary Stephen Barclay says the UK government's aiming to secure a zero tariff, zero quota free trade deal with the EU by the end of this year. Now, you've got new European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen previously saying it would be impossible to reach such a comprehensive trade deal by the end of 11 months. So what do you think then, Prof? Do you think, how far do you think they can get in terms of this free trade agreement by the end of this year? 11 months?
I think it will be impossible to achieve a complete negotiated trade agreement, which basically covers everything.
Okay.
So the reason for this is, I mean, there are multiple reasons as usual, that Boris Johnson also acknowledged this a few days ago in the UK newspapers, is that the first formal meeting to start negotiating this trade agreement will not happen earlier than early March. Mm. So it's not that, hey, today we're going to leave, tomorrow we're already sitting together to discuss it. But formally, no. Informally, of course, but formally, no. And as you know, the EU is a very strong rule-based organization. The UK underestimated this when they started the Brexit negotiations. So everything has to go step by step via established procedures. So they can only start negotiating formally early March. The EU has also said before the summer, the UK has to indicate whether they want to extend the period of the trade agreement from end of December 2022 until the end of 2022.
Okay.
So if they don't ask for that extension formally, because, again, the EU has to agree on that formally, this will not happen. And I think this will be very negative for both EU, but even more negative for the UK economy. So what I'm seeing here is a Boris Johnson who doesn't want to lose his face and says, like, okay, I won. He wants to keep the image of being the conqueror, the one who changed Britain. So he will stick to that deadline. The EU will keep saying we won't be able to deliver. So what they will be doing is they'll focus on the main trade agreements. And don't forget, there are many of those. This goes from, hey, what do you do in terms of fishing? Because you have the Netherlands, you got Denmark, you got Belgium, you got Scandinavian countries. They all fish in the same, more or less the same pool, to say so. So what you saw is that the UK already is trying to push a law through the parliament to say that you need from one side, from the UK side, say like, okay, after December 2020, only British fishermen can go there. Mm-hmm. Of course, why are they doing this? They want to use this in their negotiation because Boris Johnson also knows that with such a rule-based institution, he's not going to be able to negotiate everything. So what's probably going to happen is in December, we're going to see there's a few agreements on a few things, and they'll try to wrap it up and say, okay, with this we can also leave, but there's other things. Remember the Fisher's Law, so the EU wants to negotiate about this, so we'll take it a little bit further. So what I predict is not everything will be negotiated, and there will be ways that both parties save each other's face, so they'll extend it again. But Boris Johnson is definitely not going to say that now, because he said, I'm not going to extend that negotiation period.
Very quickly, just to wrap up, since you put it that way, potentially we're looking at a more volatile chapter in the UK. Things getting worse before it gets better in that sense. Could they take a page out of US President Donald Trump's book, in the sense have a phase one and then a phase two type of deal? What is your opinion on that?
Well, it's good reference to President Trump, because the US has already said that they want to get a trade agreement as quickly as possible with the UK. Well, we also know most of the things that Trump has said is usually legally not possible. Again, this is the case as well. The UK has to abide the regulations, mm-hmm. the policies of the EU until December 2020. So in a way, it's difficult to formally try to get a trade agreement while still negotiating with the EU on how to do it. So that's going to be formally very difficult. But of course, informally, they're already talking. The reason why right. Trump does this, of course, is because he wants to get the best deal for the U.S., not necessarily for the U.K., but for the U.S., because he knows the U.K. is facing the pressure now. So hopefully they'll give in sooner. Of course, if the U.K. gets a good deal with the EU eventually and still aligns with the EU regulations, this is something the U.S. doesn't like. Just, I mean, the famous idea of the chlorinated chicken, huh?
Yeah.
The U.S. chlorinates their chicken. The EU doesn't want that, so the EU and U.S. are basically, they don't like each other in many of the trade agreements. If they're going to see the UK is going to stay close to the EU, well, the US has a problem with that. But also the other way around, the EU, as already mentioned, will be very carefully looking at the situation, what the UK is doing and discussing with the US. Because if it turns out that we see that the UK is going to go closer to how the US does business, the EU has already said, like, this will complicate our discussions and our negotiations. So then it's less likely that the UK will get a good deal. So the US plays an important role here. But again, it's, of course, a role there that they're taking to protect and serve their own interests.
Fair enough. I've been speaking with David De Kramer, Provost Chair at National University of Singapore Business School. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a great weekend in advance.
Yeah. You too, Elliot. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.